Hi, this is Bill Woods, and I just am thinking about the fact that we've come through a very glorious holiday. We celebrated, people call it Easter, but it was Christ's resurrection. And I was thinking now that this holiday is over, and if you had company, they're all gone. And if you decorated, probably you picked the decorations up. If you're into buying Easter candy, it's half price now, so better get to the store and get your share before somebody else buys it and eats it. Anyhow, I was thinking about what a wonderful thing it is to celebrate the resurrection, and I hope just because the calendar says Easter is over, I hope you'll realize that the resurrection is something that is ongoing, not only for now, but for eternity. And I hope that you'll make sure that you praise God for the fact that He sent Jesus Christ to be your Savior and your Lord. I want to talk today about the mysterious stranger, and I want to start out by asking you the question: have you ever felt like your world has collapsed all around you, that everything is out of control? There's no rhyme or reason. You can't make sense out of it. You've lost control. All your plans have been destroyed, and the only emotion that you felt was disappointment and sorrow. Well, that's what I believe that the disciples were going through after the crucifixion, resurrection. They'd been on an emotional roller coaster. They had been so low when Jesus was arrested and crucified, when he was put in the tomb. It all seemed like everything was over and there was really no reason to go on. And then they heard that his tomb was empty, that he had been resurrected, and now all of a sudden they've got a high, it's just almost giddy because the fact that Jesus is alive, and they begin to put it together. You may have wondered, if you've gone through times like that, what the purpose of going on living was. Well, there were two people, Cleopas and his companion, that were walking back from Jerusalem to their home in Emmaus, about 7 miles away. You can read the story in Luke chapter 24, 13 through 34. These two had been to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, and they had planned to have a great time getting together their friends and worshiping together and celebrating, the Passover, remembering all about how back in Moses' time, how the angel of death passed over the homes, and if there was blood on the doorpost, the angel of death didn't bother those people. But the people that didn't prepare, the oldest son in that home would die, and the Egyptians, that was a horrible thing for them. But God spared the Israelites. But, they had no clue as they were going in to celebrate that the thing would turn into a nightmare and things would happen in Jerusalem that they never dreamed would happen. And it says in Luke 24, 13 through 14, that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. We're not told who Cleopas' companion was. I like to think maybe it was his wife, Mrs. Cleopas. And I think what a neat thing it is if they were a married couple facing life together, walking through the problems and supporting one another, and what a blessing that would be. But what we do know is that they were followers of Jesus. They'd committed their lives to Jesus Christ because they thought he was the long-awaited Messiah. Now he was dead, murdered by their own religious leaders. They couldn't make sense out of it at all. There were tears of regret, confusion. Their world was shattered. Their lives had caved in. Where could they go from here? As they walked along, feeling totally dejected, a man that they didn't know, a stranger, joined them and entered into their conversation. We pick up in Luke 24, 15 through 17, while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. He seemed totally uninformed about what had happened in Jerusalem and the death of the man that they placed so much hope in. Was he living in a vacuum to be so ill-informed? Going on Luke 24:17b to 21, and they stood still looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened." To further add to their confusion, some women had gone to his tomb and found it empty. Luke 24:22-24. "Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. This is insane. Can you believe what's happened? Where is his body? What are we to believe?" The stranger began encouraging them by telling them all the prophecies concerning the Messiah and how he must suffer and die. Luke 24:25-27, he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scripture, the things concerning himself." Hey, maybe they hadn't backed a lost cause after all. Maybe, you know, things were going to turn out a lot different than they thought they were. Well, they finally arrived at home. The stranger said he must continue his journey, and they insisted, "Please, would you stay with us tonight?" Luke 24:28-31, "So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if they were going further, or as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight." Can you imagine how they felt when they finally knew that they'd been traveling, eating, and spending time with their resurrected Lord? They couldn't contain their excitement. They had to tell somebody. I mean, it just happened, and they couldn't hold it in. So they headed back to Jerusalem. In Luke 24:32-34, they said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose in that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with him gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." How quickly we claim defeat when our hopes and plans seem to cave in and we can't see anything good in what's happened. That's why Romans 8:28 reminds us that we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. Jesus Christ has a plan for us all along, and his plans are always so much better than ours. Jesus told the disciples over and over again while he was with them what was going to happen, but they'd run the information through their filters, not God's, and they didn't understand when he was telling them to be prepared. And again, it says, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. You know, often Satan uses hard circumstances to convince us that things can't get any worse. God uses those same situations to build us and strengthen us and bless us and help us to learn to trust and depend upon him. In the Old Testament, it must have seemed to Joseph that God had deserted him when his own brothers sold him into slavery. But as he remained faithful and trusted God through the experience in Potiphar's house, the time in prison, and all the things he went through, God performed a wonderful miracle in his life. Imagine what he would have missed if he'd gotten discouraged and just plain quit. I remember when we were in Pullman, Washington, that we heard about a lady from Spokane who was traveling with a group to a layman's retreat at Fairmont Hot Springs, and they were excited. Then all of a sudden, up there in Canada, she began to get chest pains, and she was rushed to a British Columbia hospital instead of to the retreat. But instead of being bitter at God, she asked, "God, you have me here for a purpose. What do you want me to do?" It seemed to Cleopas and the rest of the disciples that God had been defeated and Satan had won a major victory. Listen to me. God is never defeated. You can trust him in any and every situation. Are you sick? God's there to strengthen you. Are you having financial problems? Well, God can take you through if you follow his program and obey him. Are you discouraged? God's plan will encourage you. His plans are always better than our plans and always the best plans for us. I remember how discouraged we felt when we arrived at our place in Holbrook and saw all the damage that the winter had caused. We had had renters and they had torn up the inside and the roof was leaking on the outside, and it just seemed like, what's the use? Why would God let this happen to us? Didn't he know how much extra stress that these things added to our lives? I mean, we had plans to fix that home up so it was more livable. So when we retired, we could move in there as we did. As usual, we had very little money at that time to sink into this project. But praise God, the insurance company provided repairs that we couldn't afford on our own. And praise God, he watches the little details and provides for our needs. You need to know that God will successfully complete every work that he has started. Luke 8:22-25, one day he got into a boat with his disciples. Jesus was in the boat and he said to them, let's start over. He had had a hard day. He wanted to go across the lake there. And so we pick it up at Luke 8:22-25. One day he got into a boat with his disciples and he said to them, "Let's go across to the other side of the lake." So they set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger, and they went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and the wind had ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to the disciples, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him?" Now I would remind you, Jesus told his disciples, "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." A huge storm hit them when they were crossing, and they panicked. They woke Jesus, and he calmed the storm and shamed their lack of faith. They didn't remember that he said, "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." He didn't say, "Let's go to the middle of the lake and sink like a rock." You know, sometimes we panic when we shouldn't. We should just turn to Jesus Christ. Well, the disciples didn't understand that Jesus said he was going to die and come back in 3 days. He never mentioned drowning or anything like that. But Matthew 12:39-40 says, "But he answered them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.'" Matthew 16:21, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." He had told them this. They just hadn't heard. I wonder how many times God tells us things and we just don't pay attention because we have our minds made up on how we think are going to turn things are going to turn out. Luke 11:29-30 says, when the crowds were increasing, he began to say, this generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. John 2:19-22, Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. John 10:17-18, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. See, nothing was said about drowning in the lake. Everything was said about what was going to happen at the cross and the tomb and the resurrection. But the disciples didn't believe about, let's go across the lake to the other side. And they didn't pick up the information there. And they evidently didn't hear when Jesus told them again and again what was going to happen. At the crucifixion, since they didn't remember this was God's plan, it seemed like the most unbearable tragedy they could imagine. God had it all in hand, and they weren't going to be forgotten. You know, I remember when we left Deer Valley Church of the Nazarene, we didn't know what God was going to do with us or where God was going to send us. We were at a friend's place in Seattle, and we were very nervous about the future. God had called us into the ministry, we knew that, and we hoped he would provide, because he hadn't said, let's go out to the center and sink like a rock. God opened Stevenson, Washington at that time, at the last minute. You know, actually, he was a little behind schedule as far as we were concerned. We wanted to know what we were going to do long before he told us, and that's the thing about God's timing. He's never late, but he sure can scare you half to death before he does something. Have you ever played on a teeter-totter? Two people, probably kids, get on opposite ends and bounce each other up and down. Sometimes the one on the downside stays there and leaves his playmate stuck up in the air yelling to be let down. The cruelest trick is getting off the teeter-totter and running away when your friend was up in the air and he'd come crashing down to the ground with a painful bump. Sometimes we feel like Jesus does that to us. We trust him to be there with us all through our ups and downs of life. However, when life takes a turn and leaves us with bumps and bruises, we may feel like Jesus has walked away, leaving our lives to come painfully crashing down. The two on the Emmaus Road probably felt that way, only to find that the promise in Lamentations 3:22 was absolutely intact. It says there, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. God is faithful to the end, even when everything seems like it's falling apart. This means that in the midst of our pain, even though we may feel alone, we're not alone. And though we might not feel his presence, he's there as our trusted companion who'll never walk away and let us come crashing down. He promised he would never leave us or forsake us. What a relief it was. What joy the Emmaus travelers felt when they finally recognized Jesus. Are you on the Emmaus Road today? Does everything seem out of focus, out of whack? Are you ready to let that mysterious stranger minister to you? I want you to remember, Jesus died for your sins, but he rose again. He was alive, and he is alive. He hadn't forgotten those people's needs on the road to Emmaus. He has not forgotten your needs either. God's plan was right on schedule. He hadn't forgotten your needs, and he hadn't forgotten their needs. He's alive. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. And I want you to take heart in that. Whatever you think you're going through today, God is more than conqueror for every situation. And if you'll just be faithful, if you'll just hang on and not give up, don't get discouraged, don't say, I'm going to quit, but say, God, I don't know what's going on, but I trust you, and I'm going to live a life showing that I have faith in you today. Listen, I want to pray with you. Dear Jesus, sometimes we go through hard places, and sometimes we don't understand what's going on, and sometimes we just kind of want to throw in the towel and say, what's the use? But Father, we know that whatever we go through today is going to be so minor when it comes to comparing it to what we're going to get in eternity. Praise God for what you're doing. We sing that song, it will be worth it all when I see Jesus. It will be worth it all when we see Christ. And Father, we're looking forward to that day. Help us to be faithful. Help us to learn to trust you more. And help us, Lord, to realize you're always there. You're the friend that sticks closer than a brother. We love you today. At least I do. And I pray, God, the people listening to me will learn to love you just like that, too. Thank you, Jesus, for being our Savior. Thank you for not leaving us stranded. Thank you that you're in control of everything that happens, even this world that seems so out of control. You know exactly what's going on, and you know what needs to be done to bring us back around, and we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening. I would encourage you to listen to my podcast. It's online under Church of the Galilean. That's lowercase, churchofthegalilean.com. And when you get there, if you'll hit the line that says there's still power in the blood, that you'll come right up to it. And it'll display the sermons. Actually, every sermon I've preached on the podcast is there. And so I just hope that you're having a good day. I'd remind you that Jesus Christ is alive and well, and he loves you. He more than anyone else has ever loved you. And if you want to contact me, again, my mailing address is Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. My email address is lowercase revwmwoods@gmail.com. And if you want to write through the message thing where a lot of you get this podcast, it'll come back to me too. I'm praying for you, and I hope that you'll continue to pray for us. Thank you for your support, and we love you all. God bless you, and we'll talk to you next week.